1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
Well, the 2017 academic year, 17-18 academic year in full swing as it's part of our spotlight segment on Long Island this morning. The New York State School Boards Association Executive Director Tim Cramer always kind of kicks us off. Nothing like a little creamer in the coffee to begin the school year, I always say. Timothy, how are you, sir?
Good. I like that introduction, man. That's awesome.
Okay. I thought that was fitting, if I could say so myself. You know, it's an interesting year. I find this to be a very interesting year because there's just so many stories outside of the school year. You have your Common Core stuff, which we talk about all the time. But quite frankly, it's going to be an interesting curriculum this year, and a lot of teachers really have to be on it. And you very appropriately listed a couple of things, Tim, we're going to go over. But this kind of has a different feel this academic year, wouldn't you say?
It surely does. In fact, we're putting out our statement of what we thought should be priorities that school leaders should be looking into, really tried to figure out what are some things that are affecting all districts statewide, upstate, downstate, black, white, rich, poor. And we came across some things, and this is a tough list. Some of it would be embedded in the things that happen within the school, within the classroom, but a whole bunch of it is a recognition that these children are showing up surrounded by a world that is in turmoil. And these are the things that we have to acknowledge when we try to create this special environment where these kids can learn.
No question about it. The first thing that came to my mind is actually number one on the list, you know, is what took place about 6 weeks ago in Charlottesville, Virginia. And, you know, we talk a lot, Tim Cramer, regarding bullying and discrimination and everything else. But certainly in light of this episode, this is something that all districts are going to be have to pay special attention to, I would think.
We're very concerned that some of the images, some of the statements, some of the things that these children are exposed to regarding bullying and discrimination and messages of hate are very impressionable. We saw right there in Syosset that there was a school where swastikas were painted on the school.
Yep.
And other messages of hate. I mean, that's the kind of thing, these copycat sorts of things where they say, oh, well, that's pretty cool. Oh, I want to fly that Confederate flag. I want to paint that swastika. That's the kind of stuff we're very concerned about. And these messages that seem to be almost they're viewed as being something that is a good thing to do by certain people who want to spread the messages that said, I'm better than you. You don't belong here. We want you out of our country. Those sorts of things are really going to have an impact on children as they look around.
No question. Also, the statues, you know, the coming down of the Robert E. Lees across the country. And, you know, it really brings up an interesting topic as far as coverage is concerned, because those really who are against these statues really want to abolish a lot of the history that took place. And when it comes to history and the districts, I think personally it's important for people to know what happened in the negative tones from yesteryear so that we don't repeat those in the future. I think it's important for kids to understand the message fully.
Well, you know, that's an interesting point, and I agree with you, but I have learned that a lot of these statues were put up by organizations, let's say like the John Birch Society and such, well after the Civil War, for example, as means to send a message of hate. So I'm not an African-American person. I'm not a person who's got a background that would cause me to feel discriminated against, I suppose. But the fact of the matter is I could see where these people might say, hey, I don't like memorializing that sort of message. At the same time, it kind of feels like cultural cleansing to me. It's like we're going to erase all of this stuff, like you suggest. We're going to erase our history, and it never happened.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is it did. Are we proud of everything that happened? Of course not, but it did happen.
No question. Tim Cramer with us from the New York State School Boards Association. By the way, they represent more than 650 school boards, more than 5,000 school board members in New York. Tim, you know, also what comes to mind in this very important category is what happened yesterday. You know, this is going to be a topic, I think, that has to be discussed. And that is the DACA category and the abolishment of it and 6 months for Congress to maybe put some form of legislation in place. And when it comes to discrimination and everything else, you know, this is going to be brought up in a big way, and it's a very fine line that teachers really have to walk here.
I don't understand the repeal of DACA. I just don't get it. It's one thing to hold parents responsible for your kids, but here's like holding the kids responsible for the parents. The parents came here illegally. I get it. But they brought these kids who were underage, minorities, some of them, this is now, you know, 10 years ago or more, and now, and they've been enculturated into America, into the United States. They've gone to school. They've graduated. They've gone out and got jobs. They've participated in our society, and now we're going to say, no, you got to go home. You're not an American. I don't get that. I don't understand that. I'm sure there are people out there who would disagree with that, but my hope is that the Congress just finally says, look, this is the law. We're going to make the DACA the law, and therefore we no longer have to go to court, and we no longer have to send these people back packing away from the United States. This is important,
and
I hope that Congress does the right thing.
And I think this is what this president had in mind, especially from the last administration when they really could not cement this in stone. So in essence, he's kind of playing both sides here. Here, listen, I'm going to pretty much rescind this, and I'm going to give you 6 months to get it right. And then maybe if it's not done in the accordance in that time frame, we'll review it. So in essence, I think the president kind of playing both sides here, Tim.
Well, I kind of hope, I don't understand his logic. Maybe it's some perverse way he's hoping that the Congress does act and that it does pass a DACA law and it does allow for these children to stay put. But this is an awful roundabout way to get there.
Now, speaking also of bullying in an important category, you know, social media, as we know, is at its highest. And we know how negative it could be at times. And, you know, we have seen instances around the country of bullying and suicides and everything else through social media. This is something I think that administrators really kind of have to put their foot down in some sort of way. Wouldn't you say so?
Well, absolutely. Well, it's I don't know about putting our foot down, but I can tell you this. We have a lot of children who are showing up at the classroom door who have serious mental health issues. Those are everything from anxiety, depression.
Yeah.
They're homeless. They're associated with drugs. They have all kinds of problems with parents at home, family members, losses, you name it. Think of all these kids down there in Houston right now and all the stuff that they're going through. This is the kind of stuff that people are showing up. And the worst part is there's a stigma attached with mental health. Either the kids are getting bullied because they have these signs of mental health, and the children are reluctant to go seek help. And frankly, school officials aren't sure how to help them, whether or not they have the resources to help them. But this is an enormous situation. We, as an organization, have really tried to shine a spotlight on the conditions of mental health as it affects students. Everywhere I go, people want to talk about this and have a story about it. We're going to continue to do that, and this is one of the ways in which we do that.
And speaking of students' emotional well-being, I think it starts next year in July. You'll have a state law that will require, Tim, that schools include mental health in their health education programs. Well needed. This year, school leaders, they'll be putting in place, I guess, some of the policy and programs that will help remove this sort of stigma associated with seeking help for mental health issues common among students, including, as you mentioned, depression and other highly treatable disorders. But I think it's something that is well needed to be instituted and really should take a closer look. I'm glad they're kind of putting this together.
Well, we are too. We've been supportive of that legislation. And it is important that students be aware of the signs of mental health for themselves and for those who are around them. And again, that stigma piece is the part that is most troubling because it's viewed as being a sign of weakness if you are somehow saying, hey, I got a problem and I got to deal with this. And we really do need to recognize that you can't come to school and learn anything if you have that kind of a condition surrounding you. So we're trying to kind of treat the core, treat the root of the problem. And that's what we're hoping, that we'll see more and more resources going towards this sort of assistance to students.
Tim, how does one get around the rights of privacy issues regarding a very delicate area here?
Yeah, you know, I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a psychologist, so I don't really know exactly the way they handle this stuff.
That could be tricky,
Yeah, it could be tricky. And yet, school officials deal with privacy issues every day, as do public health officials. And I'm convinced that we'll get over that problem. The real importance is to get to these kids and make sure that they have the help they need. If you start looking at ratios of counselors, nurses, psychologists to students, it's horrible. There'd be one counselor for 2,000 kids, sort of thing.
True.
There's no way they can pay attention to the impersonal impact, the personal needs of these children, one-on-one counseling. So we really do need to try to help in that regard.
No question about it. Tim, with us, Tim Creamer, New York State School Boards Association, and the association really identifying five pressing issues that school board members should really pay attention to this year. Let's go to number three on the list. Great list. In the federal Every Student Succeeds Act, Tim, will require now school boards to provide building level per pupil financial information. That'll be by June 30th, 2019. Now, in the interim, school boards should consider having community conversations that focus on district resource allocations here. So this, another great topic, because this plays a big role as far as a kid's future is concerned when you think about it.
Well, play this back. What you have in 19 is you're going to have schools are going to be reporting on the allocation of their resources on a school basis. So you have a community that's going to say, well, wait a minute. That school over there has all the best teachers. They got all the best technology, and they've got this and that. And we don't get any of that over here. What gives? And there's going to be these very difficult conversations about the equitable distribution of resources, and school boards need to prepare for that. And how you do that is now you start talking with the community about what they see as equitable distribution, and eventually you're going to build a budget with the expectation we're going to have to report on this at the end of this budget year, so we better build a budget that distributes resources in an equitable way. And it may be very different from the way we've been doing it in the past. And I do think that this requirement, which is a federal requirement, is going to shine a light on equity or the lack of equity in school district resources. And school officials, school boards in particular, have a responsibility to make sure that there is equity in the way we distribute it. It shouldn't be that the color of your skin or where you live or your zip code or this and that, the income that your family makes, you should still have the right to a high-quality educational program. And that does not exist in a lot of schools and school districts nationwide. And we want to make sure that we address that problem here in New York, and we will.
And that's a great point, because when you think about it, as kids get on to that next level of education, you know, there are some that have a distinct advantage as far as colleges and everything else in certain areas, and it should be spread out equally. It will do every district better in the long run. It's a great point on your end.
Well, we don't want to see a Rob Peter to pay Paul situation where, you know, we're going to take all this district money away from District A and give it to District B. We do got to make sure that there is equity statewide, no doubt. But this reporting requirement is new. Most of communities we're going to see have in the past always seen financial reports and budget reports coming out from school boards that are on a district level, maybe at a program by program level, but mostly a district level. This will shine a light on how that money is getting distributed across schools, particular schools. And we want to make sure that at the local level, where the school board should be making smart, well-informed decisions, where they can control resource allocation, that they're doing a really good job. And so we're going to pay a lot of attention to doing that. We're going to have a series of budget workshops on at the end of this year to get that conversation going.
That's important. Allocation of dollars, very important here. This next one is very interesting. Some teacher shortages in certain subject areas. I know schools, from what I read here, Tim, may experience shortages in certain subject areas, talking about science, special ed, foreign languages, math, English instruction for students whose primary language is not English. And that's a scary thought here as far as shortages. You know, one never thinks that there could be ever a shortage of teachers, huh?
Well, there's a lot of confusion about this. You're going to hear people talk about teacher shortages as if it's monolithic. It isn't. There are plenty of teaching candidates and teachers available for certain subject matters in certain parts of the state. But there are pockets within this state where they are desperate to find teachers, and there are certain disciplines, as was mentioned there, that we are having a very difficult time finding well-qualified people. The real mismatch here, Jay, is the students who are being prepared at the colleges of education are not matched up well with the specific professional needs at the school district level. We need teachers who are well-qualified to do this, this, and this, but what we have available to us from the College of Education is not that grouping. We have a bunch of people who want to teach elementary school. Well, I need a math teacher.
Yeah.
And what you have some districts doing is they're hiring people or transferring people into teaching subject matters that they don't know. They've never took a class in. I have heard stories of people who have math teachers in their schools, and these math teachers have never taken a math class when they were in college. But that's where they are assigned because that was where the job was.
Isn't that interesting?
That's not right.
Yeah. I find that to be fascinating because I know so many would-be teachers who would love to get into the system in various specialties and get turned down, and I'm talking just in the Long Island area. So, you know, you're right. It's very complicated when you think about it, especially when you have unqualified personnel in these districts.
Well, you're touching on a third rail subject, my friend, because we just recently did a teacher shortage report, and we've noted that there are people who would love to teach, let's say, part-time.
Yeah.
They do something else during the day, and they teach at the later end of the day, or they teach 2 days a week. Or you have people who need an alternative path towards certification because it's a second career option. Things of that nature. And what we have is resistance from people, particularly the teachers' unions, who say, we're not interested in having those kinds of opportunities available. We want to protect the core. And I understand that, but the fact of the matter is, if you've got these teacher shortages and you need people to have a special skill set, they're out there, and they want to come in, but there is a lot of resistance to letting them in, and that is something that we shined a light on in our teacher shortage report.
Interesting. And number five on the list, this one's interesting as well. The New York will transition in the 2017-18 school year, and that to new science standards, and it's modeled off the national next generation science standards, as it's called, and there'll be some challenges to teaching these new standards, which include, of course, a very controversial topic these days called climate change, Tim Creamer.
Well, that's right. We just also did a second report that was just out, I think it was last week, on climate change. We're trying to play this run straight down the, you know, we're not scientists here at the School Board Association.
No.
We're just bringing together the research that is out there. And what we do know is that the new next-generation science standards say that there's a standard in there that children have to be taught about climate change. And that in and of itself is controversial. Then you start talking about to what extent are fossil fuels impacting climate change? To what extent do humans impact climate change? You start to get into a lot of politics. We know that there are people who say we would prefer that business be able to make as much money as they want and the climate or the environment comes second. We have other people who say, no, you got to protect the environment. This is the only planet we've got, and business is going to have to accommodate those needs. This becomes a very controversial thing. But you think of this, you're going to have a situation where you have children in a classroom and teach them to a standard regarding climate change. And they are surrounded by all these messages around them about to what extent climate change is real and to what extent humans are having an impact on that. And one other thing we found in here from school boards who answered our survey,
yeah.
not only do they want us to teach it, and they want us to teach that humans are, in fact, having an impact, but we also learned that the person teaching science in that school, their political views do influence the way they teach about climate change.
And that's something they cannot throw into the mixture, I think.
Yeah, we got to be really careful.
Got to be careful of that. It's a fine line.
It would be awful easy to cross that line, but that's something that a lot of school board members said, we think that does happen, and we acknowledge that.
I'm sure it happens on a daily basis, but one has to be very aware. It's an important topic, especially you have two monster storms. You have Harvey in Texas. We saw the devastation, and who knows what's going to happen to Florida in the next 48 to 72 hours. This, as many say, a byproduct of a very important category in climate change. Kids have to be aware and know each end of the spectrum regarding this, I think.
Well, that's right. And science should be the thing that that rules the day, not politics, not economics.
Excellent stuff. Tim Kramer, the New York State School Boards Association Executive Director. Again, they represent more than 650 school boards, more than 5,000 school board members in the state of New York. Tim, as always, well done. We'll talk soon. How's that?
Great. Good to talk to you, Jay. Have a great year.
You too.